When I was 19, I shared a flat with another girl, and we were talking one night about how we could make extra money for holidays and the finer things in life. At that time, they were recruiting for the RUC Reserve, and so we thought, okay, we'll try that. I thought it was very good to serve Queen and Country, but to be truthful, it was the extra money that did it for me. So I applied, did the exams and interviews, and then we had to be sworn in by a Justice of the Peace and pledge allegiance to God and the Queen in a house down the Colmore Road. In the very first training class, the instructor handed out photographs of some of the atrocities orchestrated by the Provisional IRA. The first photo I looked at has scarred me to this very day. That was the first thing I saw which really hit my heart. It was then I realised that this job was actually going to be hard work, that it wasn't as simple as earning extra money. I still had my 9-to-5 job, and I did the reserves work at evenings and weekends, or if there was an incident and we were called in. Our job as part-time reservists was to help and assist the regular police force. Women didn't go out in the beat on their own. They were always with a male. At that time, women weren't armed either, but the men were. We were only taught to use the gun in case the male was shot and we were able to get his gun. I left the RUC in 1992, and it was only then that we were starting to arm females. Until then, we were sitting ducks, really, and more of a liability. You were never stationed in your own hometown if you were a regular RUC, but as a reservist, you were, so people got to know you. When I finished duty at night, I didn't know if the IRA would be after me or the Loyalists, because now they were out to get us too. My flat had a dark entrance around the back, and going home after finishing duty at night, I'd be praying to God, please don't let anyone be here to shoot me tonight. Those were very real thoughts at the time. But you just got on with it, and you still get up the next morning for your own job. And then you get a phone call to work to say, change your route on the way home. We have intelligence, they're going to shoot a reservist coming from their work. They set me up with an alarm system at home too, but I was a nervous wreck. If a bird flew past or a dog ran past, the alarm would go off and I would panic that someone was out there. It made me so nervous, it was safer not to use it. I also had to check under my car every single morning in case there were bombs under it. That was standard procedure. You never got into your car without checking it first. I haven't really talked about any of this before. It's only now when I think about some of the things we experienced that it really hits me. I can understand why so many ex-RUC people are alcoholics today. The RUC hierarchy are fine. It was the ordinary police officers, men and women, sent out to do the dirty jobs who suffered most. I never felt safe in the RUC, and I felt I had to keep my job a secret a lot of the time. It also depended on where you were living, too. You had to be careful about what you hung on your washing line, and you never hung your uniform out for people to see. Even when you were out at night or went anywhere, really, you were always on your guard. There was no support for us.